is, I think you know and understand that we are a very small community, and we have a lot of conversations between just each other, and sometimes the city employee will be talking to us about issues that happen within the city offices or some of the problems that they perceive to be problems.
Okay.
And your finance department was always wanting to go out, and I've heard from finance people that they wanted to go out and use the vehicle to go to bank runs, deposits, and other things like that, and the vehicle is never available to them. So they have to use their own personal vehicles.
Well, I beg to differ with that, Mr. Mayor. So we have, we have two vehicles. One is the fire department was able to share their red vehicle, and that's been available. And then my vehicle, oftentimes, the finance department or somebody does a mail run, comes to my office, hey, you know, can we use that vehicle? You got it. It wasn't a, oh no, this is exclusive to me. It's been shared. Also, we have another vehicle that the IT director uses that also is shareable.
Okay. When did you and I have a discussion about where I had approached you and said, Vinny, when are you going to get a personal vehicle?
Right,
so that we can free the city of one up?
Sure. So that was during the emergency declaration, and I took the vehicle because it could be very possible in the middle of the night we have an emergency where I need to rush back into the city. So after hours, yeah, I took the vehicle home, and I think we had that discussion was because of the emergency declarations that allowed me to do that.
Okay. Anyone would like to go next? Ms. Leary?
So there have been situations where there's no city vehicles available for staff, and then they're forced to use their own vehicle or not do the errand that they need to do. So that has not happened, is what you're saying?
I don't know. You're talking about personnel from the finance department, whatever complaint that they had. I have not heard of it.
Okay, so there should always be at least one vehicle available for any staff. I'm not targeting any one department or anything, but just any staff for posting agendas, any little errands that need to be done on city business. There's always a vehicle available.
Well, that's depending on the department, but if you're talking about specifically for City Hall, we have about three vehicles that are assigned to City Hall, and that's shared. Public Works has their own set of vehicles, police, they have their own.
And just on the vehicle thing, so I just wanted to clarify, I think Councilmember Springer was asking about this earlier too. So maybe this isn't an issue anymore, but was there a time recently where the utility billing specialists needed to come here to clock in and then go work at Public Works? Was that occurring?
That would be a question that you have to ask the acting finance director. He was in charge of that setup. I don't know what the arrangement was.
Okay, so I believe there was an issue with vehicle, transportation, I guess, for that purpose.
Okay.
That certain employees are being essentially required to use their personal vehicles for city business. So that's a concern.
I don't have a policy where we require it.
But if they have a task to do and they don't have a vehicle to use, they are forced to use their own vehicle. I mean,
I wouldn't, if I was a police officer and the police chief asked me to go into something without a weapon, I would say I can't do it. If a city employee is being tasked with something that they're not given the proper tools, then they could say I can't do it.
Okay.
You said there was three vehicles available, one for the fire department, one for this building, and where was the other?
Two for this building.
Two for this building.
There's, I think, F-150, the excursion, and the fire red F-250.
Okay, so one belongs over at the fire department.
Yes. Yes, it's shared. I talked to then Fire Chief Bill Howell about the need of having another vehicle, and he wasn't really using it over there on a daily basis. So well, why don't we park it in between the two buildings, and you know they have a key, we have a key, so anybody that needs to go down, they can use that.
Has this been shared with the employees here in this building?
Yes.
Okay, so you send out a memo or an email saying this vehicle is available for use?
In a box for the finance folks, yes.
Okay. And the other...
I have a question.
Go ahead, Cece.
Thank you. I just wanted some clarification on these vehicles that are being described as shared and as to how accessible they are, as in where are the keys during the day? Are they, at some place where I work, when a vehicle is, owned by the employer, the keys are typically in a shared location that can be accessible and are signed out by staff. Rather than, my understanding is that some of these vehicles theoretically could be used, but it would take more time out of, the task to run down, find the person who is holding onto the keys, make sure to find them, and request use of the vehicle. So I'm just wondering, are we keeping these keys in a shared location? Are they truly vehicles that are being shared? Or are they rather vehicles that could be used if requested?
So there's a key box that the vehicles are, keys to the vehicle are hanged up, and there's a log that an employee can log out. That way, we know who's checked out the vehicle. At least that's in the city hall. I can't speak for the other departments. I imagine the police department would have their own assigned vehicles for the officers, and public works would have assigned vehicles for their personnel. And there might be...
Okay, so the vehicle that was previously used by the finance department, where are the keys for that vehicle every day?
Yeah, you're talking about the extortion? I have that on the list.
So you always have the keys on you?
Yes.
Alright, and my biggest concern about this is just when it came to council reviewing contracts and, making a job offer and, finalizing everything, my understanding was that we budgeted kind of higher in the category of relocation fees in the expectation that a city vehicle would not be available to whomever took over the city manager's position, knowing at the time that we were pretty limited with the vehicles throughout the city. And I'm not totally well-versed on our vehicle policy, but it's also my understanding that when it reaches a level where an employee has the vehicle keys with them and they take the vehicle home every day, it reaches a certain level where we need to be reporting that as far as IRS is concerned, because it's a taxable benefit, fringe benefit. But I think there just needs to be some more clarification. And I understand how, these have been difficult times with COVID, and we're really unsure of any potential emergencies. But, and not just for the entire council, but my understanding was that smugglers in the city manager position would not be provided a vehicle for personal use, but rather one that would be communal, like many of the vehicles are at the city administration building.
Thank you, Cece. Further comments on vehicle use?
Yeah, I'm looking at that vehicle policy, and so right here for personal use. Would you say you use this for personal use?
On occasion, yes.
Okay. So the city does not generally allow personal use of a city vehicle with the following exceptions: commuting between an employee's residence and the individual's primary work location. Such use is restricted to authorized take-home vehicles only and is subject to IRS requirements as specified in this policy. And it also discusses lunch breaks. So those would be the only reasons you could use the vehicle for personal use. And as well, if you bump down to assignment of vehicle privileges. So the justification for take-home vehicle assignment requires, one, the employee must and consistently does respond to after-hours emergencies one or more times per week using a specially equipped vehicle, or employee is compensated with standby pay to respond to after-hour emergencies. So you started in March?
April 6th.
April 6th. And you've been using the car since then?
Yes.
Okay. How many after-hours emergencies do you think you've responded to?
Yeah, I can't say last year.
Okay.
But as the EOC director, I'm expected to be, well, I did activate level 3 April 6th at night. So yes, I had to rush down here. I had to, activate everybody. So that was one emergency. Yes, during the pandemic, during the emergency, as acting as EOC director, I do need to respond in case we had a level 3 activation.
Right, and just following up on what Cece was saying, so it was a $20,000 relocation package that we provided in the contract with the expectation that you would be buying your own car, and it's been May, June, July, August. We're 4 months in with multiple barges that have come out without a vehicle. You're using a city vehicle. You're keeping it from other employees who are trying to do tasks, right? This is what we're hearing. Once again, like I've said so many times, it looks really bad, and it sounds really bad, and it sounds like, kind of sounds like King Bidding, and I'm concerned about that, and especially as this, as representatives and as your supervisor, right, as counsel, we're trying to make sure there's accountability, and we're trying to make sure that, you know, people want to stay working for the city, and this is part of it, is feeling like they have the resources to be able to do the tasks that you're assigning, or whoever the supervisor is assigning, and so I think maybe I've summed up kind of what the concerns are and what we're getting at here. So, thanks.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hanson. Mr. Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Moving on from cars. Is the CARES money that we received from the state of Alaska, is that being tracked in Cassell?
No, Councillor Springer, I'm tracking that in Excel.
Okay, you said after the committee meets tomorrow night, the EOC will cut checks. Is there a separate checking account for that money?
Absolutely, Councillor Springer.
Okay, and the check register is also in Excel?
Yes, Councillor Springer, the general ledger is in Excel.
Okay, so I know a little bit about Microsoft Excel, and it doesn't seem like it's. Are you keeping a backup of that on a daily basis?
Our servers themselves are always backed up.
Okay.
But I also have another backup of what I've done. Yes.
All right. Have you consulted with our? Well, when did you start that Excel workbook?
Probably after June 30th, when we had the deposit.
Okay. Did you consult with anybody in the accounting business as to the advisability of using an Excel spreadsheet to track the revenue and expenditure of $8 million of congressionally appropriated money that's passed through the state of Alaska? And, that's my first question.
Okay. No, I did not.
You did not. Okay. How would you characterize the auditability of an Excel workbook?
I believe my process is auditable. The Excel program itself came out of the accounting world. or they had ledgers, you know, your old ledger books,
right.
Debit, credit, column rows, and whatnot. So yeah, following that sort of method on the computer, I can track every dollar.
Okay, why isn't it being managed in the city's financial system as a separate account, but why isn't it?
Because the finance department is very unstable. That council had the direct administration to stabilize the finance department. They are overloaded. Turnover is very frequent. That I had to create a parallel system that separated the actual account in a different bank. The bank is great because they give you your balance. You just apply online. You can tell exactly where, how much money it is in the account, what checks have cleared. It's a little bit simpler system to account for the dollars.
Which bank are we backing the CARES money with?
First National Bank.
Okay. All right. So you're, and who else has access to that workbook?
All of the EOC. It's on the key drive, which is our shared.
So drive. all of your staff officers have access to. They got rewrite access to that. They have privileges, edit privileges on that workbook.
Right, yes.
And is there a way to, you know, I know in a Microsoft Word document, you can turn on track changes, and I know that Perry has changed three words in the speech that I was about to give to AML tomorrow, and he really monkeyed it up, but I know he did it. Is there track changes? Are you able to track users? And trust me, I'm not suggesting that anything goofy is happening. I'm not suggesting that at all. However, as I think I said earlier today, I think I said that the city council has got the ultimate fiduciary responsibility for any money that the city receives and any money that the city spends.
Sure.
So with that in mind, is there a way for an auditor between now and 2025 when they come in from either the state of Alaska or the U.S. Department of the Treasury and they say, okay, show us your books on that, and you say, okay, and you hand them a thumb drive that's got the Excel workbook on it, and they say, okay, this is a questionable expenditure, and that's a, you know, it's a perfectly legitimate term, it doesn't imply any wrongdoing. Is there a way to tell what the multiple users of that workbook entered that, wrote that check? You know, what sort of internal auditability is there for you as the city manager, as the presumptive owner of that workbook? How would you know that me, as your plans chief, wrote that check for $150,000 to buy something? How would you know that it was me who did it?
Well, so in the spreadsheet itself, there are hyperlinks that you can link to documents. It's usually similar to how bookkeeping softwares have. So a check would be scanned, and you can see who wrote it, what the signatures are. They're dual signatures. And then I have also in the entries the invoices and backup documentation that goes with that. So if you're like, well, hey, what is this $25 Subway for? You can click the receipt for it. There's a column in there for, oh, it's for the airport incentive program. They purchased $500 worth of Subway $25 gift cards to be used for the airport incentive program. So there's a lot of backup scans that I scan and attach to that ledger.
Okay, that's fine, but you don't have a way, unlike Cassell or any other finance program where each individual user has a login,
right.
there's a trail in that system, who logged in, what they did, you don't have that in Excel, correct? So you're gonna go on. We approved on the consent agenda 3 weeks of leave for you in Anchorage. So when you leave, you know, the EOC is gonna at least be open every Wednesday, and everybody who's in there is gonna have access to that. They're gonna have, I'm presuming, you can't if they all have edit privileges, then Anybody could write a check. Sure. And like, or they could say, yeah, you know, I was only here for 6 hours, but I really worked for eight. You know, those entries can go in, and there's no way in Microsoft Excel to identify who made what entries, is there?
I believe if you were a user and you opened up Excel and you saved it, that there might be some computer forensics that identified who was the login, who logged into the computer system to do those changes.
Okay, well, I will just say...
I would assume that a lot of the ELC staff is trustworthy.
I'm not questioning that. I'm just questioning the judgment call to use Microsoft Excel as opposed to, for crying out loud, even QuickBooks, I think, has more security on it than Microsoft Excel does. And I don't believe that the argument that, well, the finance department is over. Do you know how to use it? Do you have an account on Excel?
I do, but I haven't trained how to use it.
Okay, how long from your observation does it take for somebody to gain functionality in Excel?
Probably 6 months.
I just want to say that, you know, I'm concerned about that particular judgment call there. I think a phone call to how many accounting firms we have contracts with now, you know, to one of our accounting firms and say, you know, we've got this CARES Act money here. What do you suggest that we do to keep track of it? They could very simply say, well, you know, we can run it in Excel for you. There are ways to do it without any requirement to have city finance employees. We just hired two new accountant ones, and what you just said, it's going to be 6 months till they're completely up to speed on using Excel. I'm just very, very concerned about the judgment call to use a commercial off-the-shelf, you know, version of Excel to, and I've run projects on Excel. I won't deny that. Many years ago, but I've run projects on Excel. However, you know, we're talking some big money here. We're talking about some serious audit requirements. Yeah, you can hyperlink into stuff, and that's great. I'm glad you've got the facility to do that. But I am really concerned about the auditability in the long run of that there. So enough of that one. I have one other question for you. Are you able to tell the council and tell the listening public that all employees of the city of Bethel are treated with respect by their supervisors, who are your direct reports, and by yourself? So I'd like a yes or no answer there. And I'll caveat that if the answer is no. If the honest answer is no, can you tell us that the HR director is aware of issues that personnel might have, and that they are given due regard and the ability to make reports to the human resources director without fear of any sort of reprisal or intimidation?
Well, the HR director just had a training on hostile work environment, and I haven't been here long enough before the 4 months to know if those other trainings, but I've heard that yearly there is a training for that.
Okay,
usually the unions have their own method of grievance. They usually go through the union.
But my question is, and this is an important question, and it's one that is not unique to, you know, the city here, okay? Can you tell us and the public that all city employees are treated with respect by their supervisors and by yourself, yes or no?
I can only answer for myself, and I treat my employees with utmost respect. You can talk to any of the department heads, right? I can speak for myself.
Sure, okay. Do you, as a city manager, do you maintain an open door policy for any employee?
To the detriment of not getting your work done, I do. Usually it's open.
Okay.
Unless I have some kind of conference, I do shut my door.
Sure, no, that, yeah. But you know what I mean. I mean, do employees understand, within the constraints of the collective bargaining agreement, that if they have a problem, if they have an issue, they have the ability to come to you and say, Vinny, I need to talk to you about this, whether it's an issue that maybe they've tried to push as far as they can with their supervisor, maybe it's an issue with their supervisor, maybe it's a personal issue.